Thank you, Aurelia. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word now, we pray that we will be as excited about these events as Zechariah was, and that you'll just come and speak to us now through your Holy Spirit, just as you spoke to Zechariah all those years ago. Amen. So one of the most exciting things about reading the Bible is seeing the way it all comes together to show God's plan for the world. That's why we wanted to show you that video, The Bible in 50 Words, just showing the whole story of God from beginning and all the way, of course, to where God will take us in the future. God's plan for his people, God's plan for our world. Time and time again in Scripture, we see God rescuing his people, don't we, and then bringing them back to him. We can think of the Exodus, the prophets of Elijah, of Nehemiah, God speaking to his people and always drawing them back to him. And God speaking to us today to bring us back to him as well. And all the way through the Old Testament, God promises this special rescuer, this person who will come and save the people in an amazing way, even more amazing, even more lasting than he did in the Exodus. And so today's story, of course, we know it's from just before the birth of Jesus. Zechariah is about 60 years old, so obviously very young. And he's been desperate. Him and his wife have been desperate for a child. They've been pleading out to God for a child. And Zechariah was a priest and who worked in the temple. And actually, there were thousands of priests at that time who worked in the temple. And they used to have a rota, believe it or not. They had rotas in those days as well. And a group of priests would work 2 weeks a year on their rota. It's a bit less than doing coffee every other week or whatever, but they would work 2 weeks a year, and they would come and spend those 2 weeks working in the temple. And one of them, perhaps only once in their lifetime, would be given the special honour at that time of working in the Holy of Holies and of going into there and preparing there and lighting incense and things like that. It was a very special honour to do that. And so this was what Zechariah did. And as you know from the story, while he was actually in the Holy of Holies, just before our reading, actually, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says that you're going to have this child who will prepare the way for the Lord, and you will call him John. And if you know the story, they can't believe that this is going to happen, and they're struck. Zechariah is struck dumb and has to communicate either by writing or by sign language to tell his wife what's going on, to tell the other people what's going on. But of course, as we know, this baby, Jesus' his cousin, John, is born, and we know the story of John and how he prepares the way. And Zechariah knows that this baby has a special job, and he's so excited. If you've got the words open, you can just see the excitement calling out in his life, how he just wants to praise God and just celebrate what God has done. Praise to the Lord, it says in verse 68, the God of Israel, for he has come and redeemed his people. Just amazing words. A song that's worth, perhaps at some point on our own, just reading through again to see what Zechariah is so excited about. And the Holy Spirit helped Zechariah to understand what God was going to do, that God was going to keep these promises that he'd made a long time ago, and that God was going to do another rescue mission. And this song of praise is all about how God is going to rescue and save people. And that's brilliant news, isn't it? That's great news for us today, even 2,000 or so years after this song of praise, that God is here to rescue us. We're just going to take a moment to think about why and how this morning. This hymn that we've got in front of us, Zechariah's song from Luke 1 is actually called the Benedictus, or Praise Be, because the opening words in the Vulgate, in the Latin translation, is Benedictus. And whereas Mary's song that you have earlier in this chapter is more of a psalm, the Benedictus is more like a prophecy. And the prophecy predicts not only what God is going to do, but also it proclaims God's word. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, we see from verses 41 to 45, were enabled by the Holy Spirit to express what they otherwise couldn't have formulated. And we see this, so many Old Testament references coming out. We see reference in verse 78 to the rising sun coming out of Malachi and out of Numbers and Isaiah. And Zechariah is praising, of course, God for the birth of his own son, but he's praising God for the verse of the Most High. We see in verse 76 and 77, you will be called a prophet of the Most High because you're going to go before the Lord to prepare a way. God is speaking to Zechariah that not only is his son John going to be the Baptist, the one who prepares the way, but actually that the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour is coming as well. This is answering the prophecies from Malachi and so many other places as well. The prophet of the Most High, honouring this coming Messiah who will come to us. And God's coming or visitation occurs both at the beginning and at the end of this prophecy. And it's an important theme throughout the whole of Luke's gospel. So we've got this prophecy about God's coming, both in the preparing the way through John, but in the coming of Jesus. But it's talking about who it's for. It's for verse 79, it says, for those living in darkness. It's for people who are lost and separated from God. And of course, we know, friends, that's us, don't we? If we know that we're all separated from God through sin. But this prophecy is for us today, just as much as it was for God's people all those years ago. We're separated from God. Jesus will bring us back. And it was a prophecy that was made because the people of the time were hoping for a saviour, but they were hoping for a saviour from human oppression, just as Moses rescued them from slavery, from the oppression of the Pharaoh. But this prophecy makes it clear that the saviour will do more than that. And we need the whole message of the Bible to help us understand that. That we're separated from God, that Jesus takes the punishment for sin in the only way that we can be reconciled. Not just now, but we can be reconciled for all eternity. We can have that living relationship with us. So this prophecy is for us now as well as for people in the past. This prophecy is so that we can be rescued just as God's people were rescued in the past. We can be rescued to have that relationship with God now and in the future. And this prophecy tells us how this happens. And it's because Advent is this time when we look forward, both to, of course, Christmas. I'm sure we're well into our Christmas preparations, or some of us are anyway. And we're looking forward to Jesus coming as the baby and all the joy that brings. But we're also looking forward to the second coming. One day, Jesus will return. And we can have excitement about that because we have a relationship with God now. Paul writes, if we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This prophecy is for us, it's for us now, and it's to allow us to be part of God's family both now and in the future. God loves us. He wants what's best for us. That's why he grieves when we go away from him, but rejoices when we come back. You remember the story of the prodigal son, the son who leaves home with half of his father's wealth, wastes it, moves away from the father. But when he recognizes what he's done, he comes back to the father, and there's a great celebration, a celebration in heaven because that one person came back. There's a celebration in heaven if we turn back to God because God loves us. So getting ready for Jesus means trying to live as God wants. It means prayerful dependence. It means acknowledging the Lord as the provider of all our needs so that we can stand firm, even in a confused world, even when fighting mighty powers. Paul writes in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But getting ready for Jesus means accepting the reality of this battle, putting on the armour of God to face it, and God will bring us home. Advent is about preparing for God, whether that's here in Virginia Water, whether that's preparing for Jesus in New York, in Sydney, in Riyadh, in Moscow, in Beijing, all over the world, Christians are preparing for God, are making space for Jesus in their lives. God will bring us home to be with him one day. Like Mr. Valiant in Pilgrim's Progress, there's no discouragement shall make us once reliant. This is our calling. Rely on God by being a pilgrim for Jesus. So let's just think about how we can respond to that. How can we prepare the way for Jesus in our lives, just as John prepared the way for Jesus in history? Zechariah couldn't stop praising God when he realized his son was going to be the one getting people ready for Jesus. So what can we praise God for in our lives? What can we say thank you to God for? How can we share this good news? We've heard away Simon mentioned earlier that Vincent's going to be organising people to go out and take some of the good news, take the card out to invite people along. What other ways can we be preparing for Jesus? That's perhaps a question we can ponder on in our own hearts over this week. Zechariah praised God for saving his people. It was so amazing he couldn't stop talking about it. Maybe there's a sentence for us to remember. It's so amazing we can't stop talking about it. It's God's history, it's God's plan to rescue us, to bring us into relationship. Is it so amazing in our lives that we can't stop talking about it? Amen. So just think